It's a jam-packed Monday on Daily Comedy News. We'll talk about the Emmys and Joe Rogan's apology. But I want to thank you guys. Last week is another huge week of listening for the show. Thank you for listening every day. The show's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, just added to Pandora and to Amazon Podcasts. And of course, you can follow on Spotify. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, I'm at DCNPod, at DCNPod, or my personal account is at MCDRadio, at MCDRadio. Feel encouraged to hit me on both. And thank you so much for those of you who share the show on social media. That really goes a long way. All right, let's dive in. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away, and that had some of the comedians respond. Mark Maron said, "And just when you think things can only get worse, they do." Ted Alexandro said, "When American democracy hinges on keeping an 87-year-old alive through the election, it's probably not a robust democracy." Sam Morrill said, "Just told someone RBG died, and he said, Robert Griffin III? I said, never mind." And Rob Delaney asked, "Can I run for sheriff somewhere if I have no law enforcement experience, like how the president can just nominate anyone to the Supreme Court? I never wanted to go into politics, but if I can just, like, run a sheriff's department, that would be fun." And Conan O'Brien with the poignant, "The person who told me Ruth Bader Ginsburg had passed away was my daughter, Neve. I was terribly sad, but also filled with gratitude that my daughter could see firsthand how much intelligent, brave women can change the world." On Friday, I spoke about Saturday Night Live. The Hollywood Reporter had some more about it. This is the first time in more than a decade that the entire cast will return. A lot of people thought Kate McKinnon would not return, but she is. She has two other series in the work at Hulu and Peacock, but she'll be back. So is Kenan Thompson, who is the longest-serving cast member in SNL history. And Chris Redden Thompson will star in a primetime comedy set to air on NBC in the 2021 season. Also returning, Beck Bennett, A.D. Bryant, Michael Che, Pete Davidson, Mikey Day, Heidi Gardner, Colin Jost, Alex Moffat, Kyle Mooney, Red, Cecily Strong, and Melissa Villaseñor, and featured players Chloe Fineman, Hego Nwodim, and Bowen Yang. The last time there was no cast turnover between seasons was 2007, and that was SNL's 33rd season. Maya Rudolph left the show 4 episodes into that season. Strangely enough, she'll be back this season. We'll talk about that. SNL returns on October 3rd. No host nor musical guest has been announced yet. Vulture caught up with Lorne Michaels, and he commented on the cast. And he said there'll be 3 new featured players. Lauren Holt, who auditioned a year ago and again last season. And the plan had been to bring her in at the end of last season, but you know what happened there. She's funny and fresh. Punky Johnson, who's from New Orleans and a stand-up, and Andrew Dismukas, I don't know if I said his name right, is the third. He was on the writing staff, but he's a stand-up as well. Vulture asked Lauren about Shane Gillis. You remember him? He was going to join the cast, and then some clips emerged from his podcast, and then he didn't get on the show. And Lauren said, "Well, I don't think you could start casting, and the criteria is people who've never made a mistake. You start with casting people you think are funny, and then you go over them after you used your own judgment of who they are, because you can't possibly know them for any length of time. Then you go through their past work, and I think that's sort of what the media does now. All 3 of the new cast members are people with original voices and talent. They're bringing something that we now don't have, and Kate will be back for all these election shows. So we had so many people committed to doing projects in the summer, which then got moved. AD's been doing Shrill, and she'll be here for some shows and have to go back to that for others. Cecily's doing a project in Vancouver, but we'll green screen her for things. People will stay involved, but they may not physically be in the studio." Vulture said, "That's a lot of really long-running cast members. Does that reflect a different approach?" Lawrence said, "Many things have happened. One of them is that the traditional TV season is now 8 to 10 episodes. Kenan's show, which would have been shot over the summer, is 10 episodes, and that will be shot after the election shows, and he'll go back and forth to L.A. But Kenan can come in for the day before, and he'll be fine. He knows the drill so well." Yeah, right. I mean, he's been around. He knows how to do SNL. "And certainly that's the way for Cecily as well. And 80, their hearts are here. I have no question about it. This is their first priority, so I'm happy about that." All right, Joe Rogan with a big apology. Joe Rogan apologizing. Yes, this from CNN, your home for comedy news. Rogan posted on his Instagram on Friday and said, "I need to make an apology and a retraction. I said something on the podcast with Douglas Murray about people getting arrested for lighting fires, and I got duped. It's wrong. There was one guy who got arrested for lighting fires somewhere else, and someone sent me something about people getting arrested for lighting fires in Portland. I said it without looking into it. It was very irresponsible." This was on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. Now, you may recall, Joe recently joined Spotify. Is there something to that? Are the Spotifyers going, "Hey, Joe, you got to apologize on this one"? Is Joe less independent than he used to be? I don't know the answers to those questions. I'm just asking them. Rogan said during the Thursday episode, "There's a madness going on there. You want to talk about the madness of crowds? That exemplifies that right now. They have arrested people for lighting forest fires up there." That's the part that's not true. Rogan now says, "I'm sorry if I duped you as well. There's nothing I can do about it now. It's out there, but it's definitely a mistake. My apologies. I will take this into consideration. Certainly when I say things in the future, it feels very irresponsible of me. I don't take it lightly. I'm very upset with myself and I apologize to you as well. Sorry. That just sounds like, I mean, I don't know what's going on. That sounds like somebody called somebody and I'm going to use strong words here. Made Joe apologize? I don't know. I don't think I've ever even met Joe Rogan. I don't think I did in all those years at Sirius. So I don't know. I don't have a handle on Joe. This just, I don't know, my spidey sense is tingling on this one. Spotify declined to comment about the latest incident. So earlier last week, the Spotify CEO addressed employee concerns about recent remarks Rogan had made about transgender people. For that incident, Spotify told Motherboard, all content on Spotify is subject to our longstanding content guidelines. Our diverse team of experts reviewed the content in question. Again, this is not the fire one, this is the transgender one, and determined it did not meet the criteria for removal from our platform. Spotify declined to comment about the latest incident. Very interesting. Hey, remember Dane Cook was going to do a Fast Times at Ridgemont High table reading, and then it got postponed? Well, it actually happened the other night. This from the LA Times. Let me tell you who was in it. Matthew McConaughey, Julia Roberts, Shia LaBeouf, John Legend, Ray Liotta, Henry Golding, and Sean Penn. Not bad. Even LA Mayor Eric Garcetti made an appearance to introduce the read. You know who else was in this thing? Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt. They've been divorced since 2005, but they were assigned the iconic daydream sequence in which Pitt's character is pleasuring himself in a bathroom while imagining being seduced by sex queen Linda as she emerges from his swimming pool. You remember that scene. We all remember that scene. Aniston said as Linda in the dream sequence, "Hi, Brad. You know how cute I always thought you were? I think you're so sexy. Will you come to me?" Morgan Freeman was also in this thing. Sean Penn played a delivery driver. I thought he'd get a bigger role. Shia LaBeouf was Jeff Spicoli. Dean Cook played Mark Rat Radner. I could see him being really good in that. And Jimmy Kimmel read the other parts. Pretty cool. As of Friday morning, this thing had raised $65,800. All right, that's a lot of comedy news. And we didn't even get to the Emmys yet. Let's take a break. It's as if I recorded this first part on Sunday around 12:17 p.m., isn't it? Hello, and welcome to the Pandemies. That was Jimmy Kimmel's open. He said, "You can't have a virus without a host." Why are we having an award show in the middle of a pandemic, and what the hell am I doing here? This is the year they decide to have a host? That's pretty funny. ABC then showed the reality of Kimmel speaking on stage alone to cardboard cutouts, and he said, "I'm up here all alone, just like prom night. This isn't a MAGA rally. Of course I'm here all alone. Of course we don't have an audience. We took a page from baseball and got cardboard cutouts." Now, what's interesting to me is I looked at several recaps of the Emmys to put this segment together, and some of them omitted the "this isn't a MAGA rally" line from their recap. Some selective editing. Very interesting there. You cowards, come on, report the joke. Kimmel made a bunch of generic 2020 jokes, including "this has been a miserable year," name-dropping Zoom school alongside death. Jason Bateman made a physical appearance on stage alongside the cardboard cutouts. Bateman said, "I haven't left the house for 6 months. I don't want to go back. I want to eat shrimp with the cast of The Crown." Kimmel said, "You can stay as long as you promise to laugh at my jokes." And that convinced Bateman to leave. Now, I watched like the first 7 minutes of this, and I thought it was painful. They had Jennifer Aniston in person. I'm sure if you're on the internet this morning, you will see the picture of the garbage can on fire. Now, the fire was part of the bit, but the fire got a little out of control, but Aniston put it out with a fire extinguisher. She was pretty good, but Jimmy trying to do comedic timing back to Jennifer without a crowd, he ate it. It was really, really painful, so I turned it off. Kimmel then walked into a room where a bunch of celebrities' live stream feeds were displayed on a major jumbotron, and he said, "I feel like I'm in a Best Buy. You know how hard it is to get your parents to FaceTime? Multiply that by a lot. And if you win, a guy will drive to your house and chuck the Emmy through your window." On to the actual awards. Boy, Schitt's Creek cleaned house, man. We'll talk about that. Now, I've watched this show. I know that the critics, like the entertainment mafia, love Schitt's Creek. It's okay. I don't hate it, but like, I don't know, man. Maybe it gets better. I watched, I don't know, the first six, and I was like, I just don't have enough time in my life for this. But listen to this list, and I'm recording this at around 9:15 p.m., but so far, best comedy, Schitt's Creek. Best actress in a comedy, Catherine O'Hara, Schitt's Creek. Best actor in a comedy, Eugene Levy, Schitt's Creek. Supporting actress in a comedy, Annie Murphy for Schitt's Creek. Supporting actor in a comedy, Daniel Levy, Schitt's Creek. Variety sketch series, Saturday Night Live. But boy, is Schitt's Creek that good? I don't know, man. You tell me. DCN Pod at DCN Pod. some awards that were given out Saturday night and Friday night. They kind of spread this out through the week. Eddie Murphy won an Emmy for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Comedy Series for hosting SNL. Maya Rudolph won the Emmy for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series for playing Kamala Harris on SNL. Maya also won Best Character Voiceover Performance for her role in Big Mouth's How to Have an Orgasm episode. She played Connie, the hormone monstress. Speaking of Kimmel, he's back on live tonight. The Hollywood Reporter caught up with him and said, "You took the summer off from Jimmy Kimmel Live. Is it safe to assume this has been the longest stretch you've gone without work in decades?" Kimmel said, "The last time I had this much time off was when I was fired from my radio job in Seattle and had to move back in with my parents. That one wasn't as much fun as this one." Did he miss getting to rip Trump every night? He said, "Yeah, I kind of did. Yeah, I won't miss him when he's gone. But sometimes you see things that are very ripe and you feel like a baseball player with a broken leg watching someone throw a 70-mile fastball right down the middle." What did he learn while he was away? He said, "I learned that I'm pretty good at doing nothing. I learned that I can drive an RV to Idaho. And the other thing, and I know everybody says this, but it's been nice to be able not to just put my kids to bed every night, but to read them each night. My son makes me lie to him on his bed on the floor, and I fall asleep there almost every single night. Spending time with the kids, real quality time, has been the silver lining for sure." Does that make him rethink his retirement plans? He said, "In a way, retiring was a scary thing. I think a lot of people don't know what they'll feel like when their show goes off the air, and it's given me a little sense of what it will feel like. And you know, it feels fine." That's your comedy news for today. I'm sure we'll do more about the Emmys tomorrow. I did not hear from Adam Sandler over the weekend. Adam, I'm at DCN Pod, or if you want to hit my personal account, at McD Radio. I'll engage with you either way, but Jack and Jill's not funny. All right, subscribe on, the list is so big now, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, and what's the other one? Pandora, that one too. All right, long episode today. Catch you tomorrow. Thanks, guys.